Today is Friday, February 28th, 2025, and you are listening to the World Socialist website. Billionaire Jeff Bezos makes Washington Post an ally of Trump, by Patrick Martin. Amazon billionaire Jeff Bezos, who bought the Washington Post in 2013, dropped the mask of journalistic independence Wednesday and decreed that the newspaper's editorial pages must be adapted to the agenda of the Trump administration and the interests of the capitalist oligarchy of which Bezos is a leading representative. After Post opinion editor David Shipley resigned rather than follow this directive, Bezos sent out an email to all the newspaper's employees, also published on X, that could have been drafted for Elon Musk or Donald Trump. He wrote, quote, "We are going to be writing every day in support and defense of two pillars, personal liberties and free markets. We'll cover other topics too, of course, but viewpoints opposing these pillars will be left to be published by others. I am of America and for America and proud to be so. Our country did not get here by being typical, and a big part of America's success has been freedom in the economic realm and everywhere else. Freedom is ethical, it minimizes coercion, and practical, it drives creativity, invention, and prosperity," end quote. Bezos' directive takes place as Trump is systematically dismantling what remains of democratic forms of government in the U.S. Translated from doublespeak, Bezos' pledge to promote, quote, "personal liberties and free markets," end quote, means that the Post will support Trump's efforts to destroy the political liberties of the American people and unabashedly support the domination of economic life by a group of monopolist oligarchs. Musk, who is working with Trump to gut social programs and fire hundreds of thousands of federal workers, greeted Bezos' statement with a one-word tweet, "Bravo." As more than one Post staffer has noted publicly, this paean to so-called freedom against so-called coercion was part of a message from a billionaire boss imposing his dictates on his employees, and it was combined with the example of Shipley's fate to show what reporters, editors, and columnists could expect if they fail to comply. The 1.5 million Amazon workers worldwide can testify to how Bezos minimizes coercion in the warehouses and on the trucks where he has extracted his estimated $250 billion plus fortune through their brutal exploitation. Every second of working time is tracked by management, and workers who fail to make rate are shown the door. Workplace injuries and deaths are the inevitable consequence, and Amazon fights tooth and nail against any effort by workers to exercise their personal liberties to form unions or demand higher wages and better conditions. The appalling cynicism and Orwellian doublespeak aside, the banning of even the most tepid criticism of capitalism at the leading newspaper in the U.S. Capitol has great political significance. It is the culmination of a long process of political and social decay. It has been more than half a century since the Post spearheaded the exposure of the Watergate scandal and the New York Times published the Pentagon Papers. Even then, these newspapers were capitalist enterprises, owned by multimillionaires and committed to the defense of American imperialism abroad and big business at home. Only a year after Richard Nixon resigned as president, in large measure because of the Watergate revelations, Washington Post owner Katharine Graham smashed a strike by pressmen, replacing the workers with scabs. Today, however, there is barely a shred of genuine media criticism, let alone outright opposition, directed against the fascistic course of the Trump administration. The corporate media moguls are following the political trajectory of the ruling class as a whole, as the second Trump administration begins to carry out its program of destroying the democratic rights and social gains of working people and preparing even more barbaric military adventures abroad than those already launched by its Democratic Party predecessors. The role of Bezos in the process is worth reviewing briefly. After buying the Post in 2013 and pledging a hands-off approach to its editorial work, the billionaire permitted a somewhat critical approach to the first Trump administration. The Post kept a running tally of the lies Trump told, reaching the staggering figure of 30,000 over his first 4 years in the White House. After Trump's failed coup attempt of January 6, 2021, the newspaper supported his impeachment and later his prosecution and compiled an important video archive of the events of that day. The Post's opposition to Trump, as with the Democratic Party and significant sections of the state apparatus, was centered on issues of foreign policy, particularly the U.S.-NATO war against Russia and Ukraine, of which the Post was a leading advocate. But last year, as Trump cemented the Republican presidential nomination and moved ahead in the polls, there was a pronounced shift. Bezos brought in a new publisher, Will Lewis, a veteran of the Rupert Murdoch right-wing media empire in Britain, and a new executive editor to direct news operations, Matt Murray, from the Murdoch-owned Wall Street Journal. Bezos made contact directly with Trump after his near assassination in July, offering sympathy and suggesting future support. Only weeks before the election, the billionaire stepped in to bar the Post from publishing an endorsement of Vice President Kamala Harris, Trump's Democratic opponent. After Trump won the election, Bezos tweeted his congratulations and wished for success. Bezos capped off this realignment by appearing behind Trump at the inauguration 5 weeks ago and joining a slew of oligarchs in donating $1 million apiece to the celebration. In this context, it's worth noting that Bezos justified his editorial order by citing the proliferation of diverse opinions on the internet. Standing alongside Bezos behind Trump were three individuals: Elon Musk, owner of Twitter, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, and Sundar Pichai of Google, who are engaged in a systematic campaign to suppress oppositional sentiment and censor speech online. There's an element of crude self-interest in the actions of Bezos. He has extensive government contracts that could be negatively affected by the new administration, although he is less dependent on government handouts than Musk. But far more important is the political agreement between two oligarchs, the billionaire dictator of Amazon and the billionaire would-be dictator in the White House. Bezos' insistence on the principle that he will subordinate the newspaper entirely to the defense of free markets expresses the increasing fear on the part of the billionaire oligarchy that an uncontrollable movement from below is developing against the profit system. Bezos is the most obscene expression of a process of adaptation by the corporate media to the requirements of the Trump administration. Throughout the television networks and daily newspapers, there has been a combined push from the bosses at the top and from the White House to make the media coverage of the new administration as flattering and uncritical as possible. At MSNBC, the purge of liberal pundits and talk show hosts is already underway. The cable channel is being sold off by parent company NBC Universal, a subsidiary of Comcast. And this week, the new CEO, Rebecca Kutler, fired longtime evening anchor Joy Reid while demoting hosts Alex Wagner, Jonathan Capehart, Ayman Mohyeldin, and Katie Fang. The White House is browbeating major journalistic institutions like the Associated Press and the White House Correspondents Association. The AP has been targeted for refusing to adopt Trump's renaming of the Gulf of Mexico in its style guide, with its reporters barred from press briefings and Air Force One travel. The 111-year-old WHCA has lost its authority to select the daily pool of reporters covering the president. Trump will now handpick them, favoring ultra-right publications and fascist podcasters. There is understandable outrage among reporters, editors, and other media workers over the drastic shift to the right. Former Post executive editor Marty Baron told the Daily Beast that he was sad and disgusted at Bezos' memo to the newspaper staff. Dozens of Post workers have published critical comments on social media, with some threatening to quit if the changed editorial line is brought more directly into news operations. But there can be no defense of democratic rights, including the existence of an independent and free press, the so-called Fourth Estate, within a society in which a literal handful of centibillionaires like Musk and Bezos own more wealth than the entire working class combined. The defense of democratic rights depends on the political mobilization of the working class, based on a socialist program. And that struggle is being spearheaded by the Revolutionary Socialist Press, the World Socialist website, which is gaining an increasing audience both in the U.S. and globally. Trump-Musk rampage could leave up to 1 million workers jobless, a major investment firm warns, by Jacob Cross. President Donald Trump and billionaire Elon Musk's purge of the federal workforce, intended to fund tax cuts for the wealthy, mass deportations, and war, could leave up to 1 million people jobless in the coming weeks, according to a recent report from a major investment firm. On February 22nd, Apollo Global Management chief economist Torsten Sluk, in a report titled Downside Risks Intensifying, wrote that the, quote, consensus expects total DOGE-related job cuts to be 300,000, end quote. He noted that unemployment claims were already rising in Washington, D.C., and stated that any further layoffs, quote, will push jobless claims higher over the coming weeks, end quote. Citing a 2020 Brookings Institute report, Sluk observed, quote, that for every federal employee, there are two contractors. As a result, layoffs could potentially be closer to 1 million, end quote. On Thursday, federal judge William Alsup temporarily blocked some of the mass firings, ruling that the Office of Personnel Management, the OPM, exceeded its authority by ordering agencies such as the Department of Education and the Environmental Protection Agency to fire workers. Earlier this month, OPM issued a memo instructing federal agencies to, quote, separate probationary employees that you have not identified as mission critical no later than the end of the day, Monday, 2/17, end quote. to make the job and spending cuts permanent and bypass legal challenges like Alsup's ruling, Politico reported Thursday Trump and top Republicans are considering, quote, codifying DOGE actions, end quote, into the upcoming spending bill. The current proposal includes $880 billion in cuts to Medicaid, Medicare, and other healthcare programs over 10 years. In order to pressure Democrats into voting for the bill, Politico reported Republicans would include alleged egregious examples of spending largesse discovered by DOGE and dare Democrats to vote against it. Despite constant claims of, quote, waste, fraud, and abuse, end quote, being discovered by Musk and his DOGE cronies, no one has been charged with fraud. Without a spending bill or continuing resolution by March 14, the federal government will shut down. On Thursday, Trump posted on social media that Congress was working to, quote, pass a clean temporary government funding bill, let's get it done, end quote. With a shutdown looming, The Washington Post reported Wednesday that additional federal layoffs are imminent, with some departments facing cuts of up to 90%. Two Social Security Administration workers said agency leadership has been instructed to cut staff by half. An internal Department of Labor memorandum, viewed by the Post, calls for slashing the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Program from 50 offices and nearly 500 workers to just 4 offices and 50 people. Wired reported on February 25 that Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, is updating software previously developed by the Department of Defense to cull federal workers. Sources told Wired that the software, called AutoRIF, or Automated Reduction in Force, has been accessed by DOGE operatives who, quote, appear to be editing its code, end quote, according to screenshots of internal databases provided by sources. During his first full cabinet meeting on Wednesday, Trump said he spoke with Environmental Protection Agency Secretary Lee Zeldin, quote, and thinks he's going to be cutting 65% or so of the people from environmental, and we're going to speed up the process too, end quote. The White House later attempted to walk back the statement, claiming that Trump was committed to, quote, eliminating 65% of the EPA's wasteful spending, end quote. Of course, for the financial oligarchy, wasteful spending is anything that benefits the lives, health, and safety of the working class at the expense of Wall Street profits. A currently employed lawyer with the EPA told reporters for the World Socialist website, quote, the folks with the most experience at the EPA are currently leaving, many during this exact pay period, and the first wave of probationary firings has already left the agency understaffed. We are unable to continue past the projects we have entered on currently. To call any more would leave us categorically unable to finish the tasks currently set. When they attack grants, people here suffer today. When they attack USAID, people abroad die today. When they attack Medicaid, people die tomorrow. And when they attack the EPA, children die decades from now. End quote. He concluded that the loss is incalculable and the message is clear, quote, they would kill you for a red cent, and they will pay no price unless working people actually take a stand on every one of these issues, end quote. In devastating cuts that climate scientists and meteorologists warn will lead to deaths, hundreds of workers, including new hires and recently promoted staff, were fired at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, which is part of the Department of Commerce, on Thursday. The Guardian reported that roughly 10% of the agency's workforce was classified as probationary and thus subject to layoff. In a thread on X, formerly Twitter, Dr. Daniel Swain, a climate scientist at UCLA, called the firings, quote, of new hires and recently promoted senior staff profoundly alarming, end quote. He noted that those dismissed appeared to include, quote, meteorologists, data scientists responsible for maintaining weather predictive models, and technicians responsible for maintaining the nation's weather instrumentation network, among many others, end quote. Swain emphasized that the National Weather Service, quote, saves countless lives by issuing high-quality weather forecasts and extreme weather warnings. Despite widespread discussion to the contrary, the fact of the matter is that the private sector as it presently exists simply cannot quickly spin up to fill any void left by substantial dismantling of NOAA or the NWS. In fact, though this is not widely known, most or all private weather companies in the U.S., including the forecasts you see on TV or your favorite app, are built directly atop the backbone of taxpayer-funded instrumentation, data, predictive modeling, and forecasts provided by NOAA, end quote. He concluded that the large staffing reductions underway, with more cuts on the horizon, will result, quote, in people who die in extreme weather events and related disasters who would not have otherwise, end quote. For these articles and more, go to wsws.org.
The World Socialist website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.